Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. We have a few announcements. First of all, thanks to Jackson and to all who prepared food, served food, ran errands, opened their swimming pools for the Sun Servants' successful week this week. And please pray for the Sun Servants organization and for Jackson, Katie, Maggie, and Raphael, who will be traveling to Panther, West Virginia for another Sun Servants week this coming week. The Finance Committee has an announcement on the back of your bulletin. Committee chairs, please turn in your budgets. And there's an insert for praying for the pastor nominating committee. We should all pray together where two or more are joined together for this committee and for the pastor that God has already chosen for our church after Steve. So thank you for being here. And it is hot. That's the main announcement. Join together now in the responsive call to worship. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow finds a nest for herself and her young. Our hymn of praise is 485, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
That hymn reminds me that sometimes we don't hear God's voice because we are not listening for God's voice. Let's pray together the prayer of confession. Faithful, ever-giving God, you have provided for us through all seasons of our lives. You give to us what is most needed. Yet we confess that sometimes we have not wanted what you have provided. Forgive us for the times that we have failed to recognize the gifts you send us. Have mercy upon us for trying to substitute the things of earth for the bread of heaven. Nourish us with the bread of life so that we may experience the abundance that only you provide. Amen. Amen. Let's receive together the assurance of his pardon. While it is true that we have sinned, it is a greater truth that we are forgiven through God's love in Jesus Christ. To all who humbly seek the mercy of God, be assured that in Jesus Christ your sin is forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Can you hear me? Come on up. I guarantee I've got enough. It's worth it. Come on, you can sit down right here if you want to. You can help me. Now, there's something wonderful about getting a surprise call and swapping. I am not Kathy Dolley Nevis, but we swap. But I won the best part of the swap because it asked me, I looked at the title of the sermon and it said, manna, what is it? Answer the question, what is it? I don't know either, but I did some research because that's one of my favorite things to do is do research. What it tells me is they didn't know either, but they told us what it tasted like. Now, what I want y'all to know, has there ever been anything your mother or daddy, aunt, uncle, cousin, somebody put in front of you and said, oh, this is so special, wouldn't you like to eat this? And you weren't sure you wanted it? And what'd you say? You went, no thank you. In our household, we always had what we called a no thank you serving, because you weren't allowed to say, no, I don't want this food. You had to at least taste it. Now, go pick it up. There was going to be food all over the ground, and all you had to do is go pick it up. But it looked kind of funny. Well, that's what they had to learn how to do. They woke up one morning, and there was, you know how it looks kind of dewy in the morning where it kind of like water on the ground and stuff, steam coming up from the ground, and the grass is all wet. But when that burned off, when they saw it, it was all white. And little teeny things. According to Exodus, it says it looked like coriander seeds. Little teeny, teeny weeny little, almost like smaller than rice, but white. And they were supposed to scoop up an omer. So if I say, go get me an omer's worth, how much would you get? You'd get an ounce. You'd get two things, two quarts. You know, a quart is about the same size as a regular thing of milk, not one of the big gallon ones that you get, but the regular square ones with the kids' pictures on them, right? Okay. So y'all know how much it is. You got to get two of those, and then you're supposed to make bread out of it and eat it. Now, I don't know how you get it up off the ground. It doesn't tell us that. I don't know whether you scooped it with your hand or went out there with a shovel or if they had a special manna rake. It doesn't tell us. But you know what it does tell us? It tells us what it tasted like. And my favorite thing ever on Sunday mornings is go shopping for little children and say, what did I find? It said it tasted like wafers with honey on them. And I went shopping and I found some wafers. These are sugar-free. They don't have any leaven in them at all. And they're made out of nuts and honey. I want you to taste those and tell me. Now, did anyone look at these for a second and say, nope, no thank you? Try. Tell me if they're any good. Do you like them okay? You know what? After the people of Israel ate it, they liked it. But the problem they had was they still weren't real sure what to do with it. And God said, this is going to be a test to you. Now that you know you like it, you only get one day's worth. You can't get any leftovers. So every day when you're done, you're done. If you try to keep it overnight, you know what would happen to it? It's the gross part, but it's in the Bible, so I can say it. It got worms in it and started stinking. To say, don't get greedy. So if I told you, if you didn't eat it today, tomorrow morning it's going to have worms in it and stink, you'd probably think this would be just fine, right? All right. So they had to do that every day for 40-some years. I didn't make this stuff up. It's right there. It's in the Bible. You can read it. Now, you like this, right? So next time, when you're here and doing your Sunday school and they say, what does manna taste like? Tell them it tastes like a graham cracker. Isn't that what this looks like? And this one's a special graham cracker. It came from Schlar, wherever that is. I don't know. It's a Schlar cracker. Now, tell God thank you for the regular food we get, and next time you get something to eat that you're not real sure what it is, just try it. You might like it. Let's say thank you to God. Dear God, thanks for food. Thanks for keeping us. Thanks for taking care of all of our needs, even when we're not even sure how you're going to do it. Amen.
Please join me for our prayer for illumination. Holy Spirit, pour out wisdom of understanding that being taught by you in the Holy Scriptures, our hearts and minds may be open to receive all that leads to life and goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first lesson is Exodus 16, 2 through 15. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness and said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your murmurings against the Lord. For what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your murmurings, which you murmur against him, what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the murmurings of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay round about the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as hoarfrost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel reading for this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 32 through 35. Let us listen for God's word. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of the Lord. What is it? That is a question that gets asked around our family dinner table every once in a while. Usually I hear it, "What is it?" when I experiment with cooking something new. And that's because all of us get accustomed to enjoying the dishes which are familiar favorites. There's something comfortable and good about meatloaf and mashed potatoes, or mac and cheese and baked apples. At least at our house, when these are spread on the table, everybody recognizes what is coming and settles in for the meal. But I remember the Saturday when I tried my friend's recipe for pasta raphael. Now, my family loves pasta, but they are accustomed to spaghetti and meat sauce, or maybe chicken pesto. And that Saturday afternoon, I camped out in the kitchen and began scalding the tomatoes and starting the sauce. And then came the onions and garlic, green pepper, celery, carrots, and mushrooms. For several hours, the ingredients melted away, simmering together, filling the house with the aroma of wonderful promise for a good meal. The artichoke hearts went in later, and I added Cabernet to keep the sauce rich and fluid. And when I tasted it, I realized that I was able to reproduce the taste that our friends had made for me and Amy one night. I'd liked the recipe so much that I'd twisted their arms to give it up to me. Now I was ready to try this new creation on my family, and the table was set with salad and bread, and there in the big pasta bowl was my pasta raphael. But then, just as if the kids had been rehearsing the lines, they came in, sat down, and they said, "What is it?" Human beings are naturally cautious when trying new things. But surprisingly, today, pasta raphael is a favorite because we have shared it many times together. What is it? That was the question that the ancient Israelites were asking Moses one morning. The Hebrew people were tired and they were thirsty and they were hungry as they wandered in the wilderness. They had been on the road. They had been traveling without the comforts of home and the use of their own kitchens. On this particular morning, when they came out of their tents, there was what the Bible calls a fine flake-like thing, fine as hoarfrost upon the ground. Now, the Hebrew people had never seen it before, so in unison voices together, they said, "What is it?" As those who have heard the rest of the story before, we may know that it was manna. It was the food that God provided for them on the long desert journey from Egypt to the promised land. But it was not the food that Israel was accustomed to. And so they wanted to know, what in the world was it? Now, one of the fun things about this morning's passage in Exodus is that we have a play on words going on here. And the Hebrew would have struck the ancient Hebrew congregations gathered for worship in their synagogues is a little bit comical. In the Hebrew, the question, "What is it?" are the words "man who." And then the answer, the Hebrew word for the food, is manna. So there's this play on words, "man who," manna, "man who," manna. What is it? What? What is it? What? It's a little bit like an Abbott and Costello skit. Or if you follow commercials closely on television, you might have seen the Geico insurance commercials with the character Mayhem. And one of those commercials, Mayhem is causing his usual chaos, and the insurance victim cries out, "What? What?" Says the other person, "What? What is going on?" That is woven throughout this story. The Hebrew people find this food that God has provided, and they turn and they say, "What is it?" And Moses calls it what? Manna. And at the very same time, Moses said that this what is bread from God. Ancient Israel had never had bread like this before. This was not meatloaf and mashed potatoes. This did not seem like anything they really wanted a part of. But it was a gift. This was the provision for their survival. The manna saved them in the desert wilderness. The manna wasn't what they were hoping for. The manna wasn't what they were expecting. But the manna was exactly what they needed from God for their journey on the way to the promised land. To really understand what a gift the manna was, you have to go back in the story and remember how God had led them out of their slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt. Moses arose as a leader in Egypt. He was a Hebrew who had heard the voice of Israel's God speak from the burning bush, sending Moses on a mission and promising that God would be with him. God rekindled his covenant relationship with Israel and spoke good news to them, saying that he was leading them home. The God of the covenant would not let them be buried in the sand under the captivity of a tyrant. Through great signs and wonders and powers beyond the abilities of a small and frail people, God led them out of Israel and out of their slavery through the cleansing waters of the sea. The people were freed. They were restored to begin to live again in the fullness of God's goodness. 2 months after that freedom, is this story that we hear in Exodus today. 2 months after their liberation from Pharaoh, they're at a place that is in between. The story tells us that they were between Elim and Mount Sinai. That means they are between two great events, between the great Red Sea deliverance and the revelation of the law, the Ten Commandments given on Mount Sinai. They were in between, in the valley of dry, hot travel, of pitching tents, setting up camp and breaking it down again to move again and again. They were in between. They were free from slavery, but they were not home yet. They were not in the promised land. They were in transition. One of the things that has taken me more time to learn than I care to admit is that so much of the Christian life happens in between, in transition, from one thing to another. I would prefer to arrive. I would prefer to get to my destination and remain comfortably right there. But our journeys as human beings created by God are always on the move. We begin from childhood, moving toward adulthood. Most often, we leave the home in which we grew up to learn work and to experience the world around us. We may start a family of our own, only eventually to see our children mature and leave the home we made for them. Often before we are ready, we find ourselves retiring from work. And this may require another move or a few moves as people face the challenges of aging. Ultimately, of course, we are on our way to return to the loving God who created us and gave us the gift of life. And in each season of this cycle, there are always so many wonderful and also so many challenging twists and turns along the way. By faith, we discover that the Lord provides what we need along the way. Yet, like the manna in the wilderness, God's provision sometimes does not match our expectations, and we cry out, "What is it?" Often it's only as we look back on our lives and see and understand the way in which God was leading us and giving to us what was good and needed. Now, in the gospel reading for this morning, the crowds were pressing in upon Jesus and asking him many questions. They were anxious and they were confused. They wanted Jesus to give them bread like Moses had given to the Hebrew people. Jesus met them with compassion and told them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And so this New Testament passage shows us, just like our communion table shows us this morning that Jesus Christ is the most important provision that God has given us to supply the deepest needs of our lives. We experience Jesus Christ and know him in more meaningful ways along the cycles of our life's seasons, but it's the very same Lord that meets us time and time again along the way. While this is true in our own individual Christian lives, it is also true for the church as a whole. This church is in an in-between season, in transition, as it awaits beginning a new chapter with a new pastor. And even more so, the larger church, the church all around us, is in a transitional season as the relationship of the church and American culture is changing. The church does not occupy the same central place in our culture that it did a couple of generations ago. We were accustomed to being at the center of things, but now the church finds itself at a more marginal place, sort of like ancient Israel, on the way, in between. All of our churches are working and praying to find out what this means and how to be faithful in meeting the challenges before us. Yet what remains the same in a changing environment is that our ultimate provision is still Jesus Christ, the bread of life. This new situation, of course, makes us all a little anxious and sometimes confused. But when it comes to knowing what is most important for us as we face the future, when we ask, what is it? We know that the answer is Jesus himself. Friends, as we gather around the communion table this morning, come and be renewed for trusting that Christ is with you and granting you what you need for this day and all the days ahead. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us stand together as we confess the faith of the church, saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Our next hymn is number 510, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Jesus was the one who said to all of his disciples of every time and age, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Friends, this is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, our host. It does not belong to a denomination, but rather all those who trust in him are welcome to partake of this holy meal. Come in faith to receive this heavenly bread. Come trusting and remembering that God will continue to provide for you along your faith journey. Let us pray. Holy God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, with joy we praise you and give thanks to your name. We praise you, most holy God, for sending your only Son to live among us, sharing our joy and sorrow. Obeying you, he took up his cross and died that we might live. We praise you that he overcame death and is risen to rule the world. We trust him to overcome every power that can hurt or divide us, and believe that when he comes in glory, we will celebrate victory with him. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we break bread and share one cup, giving thanks for your saving love in Jesus Christ. As you raised our Lord from death and call us with him from death to life, we give ourselves to you to live for him in joy and grateful praise. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and make these gifts of bread and cup gifts of sustenance for us. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Oh God, hear our prayers for this church family, and especially those on the church's prayer list. We ask your blessings for those leaving tomorrow for the mission trip to Panther, West Virginia. Send us out in the power of the Spirit to live for others as Christ lived for us, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all people and nations. By your Spirit, draw us together into one body and join us to Christ the Lord, that we may remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory. Now we join together in saying the prayer that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Each time you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." For each time we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim our Lord's saving death until he comes. Let us pray. We bless you, O God, for gifts of bread and cup, for sustaining us in hope every day of our lives. We pray for your strength to prepare us now for your service as we offer to you lives of witness and worship in the world you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now with gladness, let us bring the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord. Let us pray. Ever-present God, with this offering we present also ourselves, all that we have been, all that we are, and all that we shall become, and our resolve to walk in your way. Accept us in our offering, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is number 438, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Thank you.
friends, as you go into this new week, go trusting that Christ goes before you to prepare the way for you. And he goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to accompany you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.